Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Is Eddie not there? Okay, I guess not. Eddie's there now. Okay, Eddie.
Hello.
There?
Oh, yeah. Hello. You're in the morning again.
Yeah. It's kind of weird being up late at night. What's your schedule like these days?
I don't know. Do I have a schedule?
Well, they're saying Blur's Day is the day, you know, because one day blurs into the other, and you wake up and you go, what day is today? Is it Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever?
It's a holiday? Is there such a thing? They exist anymore? I don't know. Yeah, a lot of blogs, a lot of podcasts, stuff like that. So, no baseball, that's for sure, at least now anyway.
Yeah. Well, when last we spoke on the air, you were kind of pessimistic that baseball was going to be able to start with all the obstacles in the way and all the question marks and everything else. Things have clarified a bit since then. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I'm optimistic that they're going to play. Time is kind of running out here. They're going to deliver the latest info or solution anyway to the players tomorrow. By my figuring anyway, you probably got about a week or so before you have to start getting things in place, because if you want to start spring training, you know, in the middle of June, you've got to allow the clubs some time to get everything together and get ready for that. So I don't think, say, June 1st is a hard date, but, you know, around this time, you've got probably a week or 10 days, I would think, to kind of straighten this out, and hopefully they will. I do think that, I think the owners will come back with, you know, they need further reduction in salary, at least, you know, everything you hear that's not going to float with them just the 50-50. So, and I think they realize as well, too, that you mentioned revenue sharing to a player, that means salary cap. So that's not going to float either. So I think they'll try to find some innovative ways around that. And, there are a couple of ways that you can go, and we'll see if they use that. But I do think they will.
Yeah. Well, one of the ways, I guess, is deferred payments that, right now the owners claim that they're strapped. I don't know how strapped they are, really, but, you know, it's right. Balance sheet day to day, week to week, year to year. So right now, even if they do come back with fans later in the year, which is doubtful, they're going to take a hit revenue wise. So maybe they can defer some of those payments somehow. But, it's interesting, the optics of this whole thing, because most of the calls I'm getting are not on the player's side. You know, people are saying, look at all these restaurant workers who are out of jobs and may not ever get them back. And you're complaining that you're going to have to take a cut from $40 million to $20 million, right. You know, get real. So the players can't really win this, in the public arena, I don't think.
Yeah, they never do, and they never will. And I think they realize that, at least most of them do. People forget that, you know, baseball is a $10 to $11 billion revenue winner every year, or it was this past year anyway, and they've made money over the last 17 years, I think it is, and player salaries have gone down the last couple of years. And again, nobody's playing violins here for the players, but at the same time, they're not going to win the public relations war. They never have. They never will. And I think, most of them realize that as well, too. But, you know, Major League Baseball teams are, they're, you know, for the most part, are not publicly traded entities, and they're, you know, you don't have to disclose your profits or your losses or your revenues, and that, and that's part of the problem with revenue sharing. That's what the players have always had a problem with, is that, you know, there's a lot that's not disclosed, so, and there's a lot that can be hidden. But, you know, that there are ways to get around it. One of the things, you know, you mentioned deferred payments, you know, deferred payments with interest maybe down the line that you can, you know, pay off over the next couple of years. The bottom line to me is that, you know, the owners are going to lose money one way or the other here, and everybody's losing money to get the game back this year. But the owners have to get to the postseason. That's what they really want. I don't even know if they care how long the season is. You know, some people have said, well, you know, 82 games, which they have scheduled now, is basically a half a season. I personally don't even know if the owners care if they have that many games. They just want to get to the postseason where they can get to the TV money, and that's where they're going to earn some money. So can you tie it in somehow with the players that way, that they would get a share of that, you know, at the end of this year or, you know, over the next year? I think one thing they have to do is stay away from revenue sharing, because you have the collective bargaining agreement coming up next year, and the players don't want to go there at all, period. And they certainly don't want to go there right before you're going to have, you know, a collective bargaining agreement, CBA next year. So, or at the end of next year. So, I think there are ways to get around this, and hopefully they can be a little creative and get it done.
Yeah, one would think they would find a way, and whatever it is, it is. Rules changes. I mean, it looks pretty much like you're going to have a designated hitter in both leagues, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, I've never been a big DH fan, but I'm not one of these kicking and screaming guys that you've got to drag me into the DH kicking and screaming. I think it's going to happen. And I think it's going to happen now. This is the perfect time to do it. And I think that, you know, once it's installed, I think it will be here. And I just think that's, I think it's a smart thing to do this year if you're going to try it, at least. And, I don't think you go back from that. So I think it's, yeah, it will be installed. I think it will remain after this. And that's just the way it is. I mean, I like the idea of, you know, pinch hitting pitchers and all that stuff. And I like the National League style of play. But, you know, like I said, I'm not a kicking and screaming guy. It's going to change, and I think this is probably the time to do it. The interesting thing to me is that I think it helps the Mets a heck of a lot, because, you know, they, with Cespedes, even Robbie Cano, but also, you know, Dom Smith and J.D. Davis, they have, you know, people that can cover that, and it would help them, obviously, offensively. So I think it helps them out an awful lot if they install it.
Yeah, I would say for sure that would be a plus for the Mets. What about other rules changes? I mean, obviously the schedule is going to be, I read a piece from the couple that are living in Hyannis, Massachusetts, who used to make up the Major League schedule and do it for the NBA as well. And they said basically you have home and away series of 12 games with the teams in your division, so that comes up to 48 games. Okay. And then you have 30 games in the team with the corresponding, in this case, American League division, the AL East.
That'd be six each, right? Yeah, so yeah. A series each way, a home and away. Yeah.
So you do that, and that comes out to 78, and you figure something out for the remaining four games if you're going to play 82. That would be a pretty simple way to do it. I just wonder with the COVID and everything else, if, you know, it's going to be three game sets, or you're going to bring a team into town for six games and knock it off that way, so you cut down on the travel.
Yeah, that's possible, Rich. I mean, I don't think any of that is set in stone at this time. I think a lot of that depends on hot spots. I mean, we're seeing that now. You know, things are opening up this weekend, obviously, and, you know, people are together. We've seen the pictures of, you know, no masks, and large gatherings. Is that a good idea? Probably not right now, I think. So, you know, what happens if you have a series scheduled, you know, if the Mets have a series scheduled with, you know, Baltimore, say, all right, and Baltimore becomes a hot spot when you're supposed to go there? What happens then? You know, does Baltimore come to New York? Those are things that you have to figure out. And again, you're going to have to play with this, I think, as the season goes along, which is one reason why I said that I don't know if the owners care all that much whether it's 82 games. You can factor in 82. That's what it's supposed to be right now. But, you know, if you start a little bit later, is it less games? Do you care? They, like I said, they want to get to the postseason. That's where the money is for them. And if they're playing games in front of no fans, you know, do they care whether it's 70 or 80? I don't think so. So that's where the schedule, it's kind of hard factoring in or figuring out a schedule right now, and you don't even know how many games there definitely will be. Right now, it's, you know, slated for 82, but, you know, we'll see what it ends up being.
Well, and this year, I mean, they were talking about an additional wild card team. Are they going to try to do that this year? Is that a proposal for later, or how's that work?
I think they're going to allow 14 teams in. That was the idea, I think, a couple of years or past next year, I think. Was it for 2022, I think. So I think they will try that this year, yeah, because, I mean, the season is, you know, up in the air and, you know, all over the place this year. So I think they're going to try to include as many, you know, teams as you can. And, you know, the less games you have, the more teams that are in it anyway. You know how that works. You get to 50 games kind of around this time, you know, Memorial Day or so, and you kind of figure out where you are at that point in time. It takes that much time to figure out what kind of team you are. And then the next 100 or so, you know, kind of sort out the wheat from the chaff. But, you know, with less games, you know, you're not going to have that much separation between teams. So there'll be some fights for playoff spots down the line. That'll make things more interesting, I guess. And I think they'll, you know, you'll include the 14 teams. And exactly what the playoff format is going to be like, I guess that's to be determined. But they had worked something out for 2022 as well.
Yeah, and I wonder what the trading deadline is going to be like. You know, you look thing,
yeah.
And will it be? It's got to be later. I mean, you don't want to do it July 31st if you only have a month,
right?
So you do it later, and then you look at you know, the accrued time with the guy like Mookie Betts, who might play a half a season for the Dodgers with all they gave up for him, and then he becomes a free agent. So you got to factor those things into it as well.
Yeah, no question. Yeah, I mean, you know, the trading deadline will be in there somewhere, I would imagine. You know, when that is, I don't know. Do you go halfway, possibly? I don't know. You're going to, you know, if they go by the schedule that they have now anyway, you're playing games in July, August, and September. To me, there were a couple of reasons they wanted to get games in by the end of September and then start the postseason in October. Probably most important is that, you know, they fear a coronavirus comeback in the fall. And, you know, they want to get things out of the way before you go too deep, you know, into November. And I know they were talking November, December before. The other reason is to keep things intact for next year, that you could start the next year like you usually do, you know, in February, have spring training in February and March and get things underway in April. You know, whether that comes to fruition, I don't know. Can you start on time? Is it going to end there? But, you know, basically you're looking at 3 months of baseball. And one thing that you can't overlook is the fact that, you know, you're basically, you know, the NHL and NBA play 81 game seasons, you know, 80 games or so, and that's half a baseball season. But, you know, baseball is not doing that, but they're doing it in 3 months. You know, the other sports take sometimes six, 7 months to do that. So you're going to play an awful lot of baseball in a short amount of time, and there'll be injuries and, you know, keeping the 20-man taxi squad together. There's a lot of things to work out, you know, to make things go smoothly. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, that's the thing with South Korean baseball. They say that there have been many, many, many more injuries because you're shortening spring training. It's only going to be a couple of weeks, and guys aren't going to be, you know, some guys have been working out during this time and keep themselves in shape, and other guys haven't, and, you know, the injury factor is going to be there.
Yeah, no, I think it will be. The KBO is interesting, too, the Korean Baseball Organization, because they're a smaller league. I think they only have 11 or 12 teams or so, but, you know, they said if somebody tests positive there, they're shutting the league down for 3 weeks. you know, baseball has not said that. And the players want more testing, and I don't blame them, actually, too, because there's lag time between tests. I think we've all seen, you know, false positives, false negatives. You know, I'm not sure what kind of test they're going to use. There's talk about using a saliva test instead of blood tests every day. Are there going to be mistakes there? If somebody's positive, you know, they're going to quarantine him, you know, quarantine them for 14 days or two negative tests. But who knows? You know, it's going to be kind of a closed shop here. So you're going to be in contact or pretty close contact with just about everybody else. And, you know, how do you figure out who he has, who's been exposed to him, et cetera? There are a lot of things still to work out, I think, on that end of things before the economic end. So that's why they have a lot of work to do in a short amount of time.
Yeah. And even with a 50-man roster, including the taxi squad, if one team has a rash of positive tests and they have to close that particular team down, what do you do with the games that they're supposed to play against the other teams? Do you default them, or what do you do?
It's a great point. That's why, you know, I've said all along that I do think they'll play. I think they want to play, and I do think that they'll get things underway. Whether this model can float through and get through, you know, mistake-free, whatever, for 3 months, I'm not quite sure. They have to get to the postseason for this to be economically viable for, I guess, everyone, and particularly the owners. But can they get there? I don't know. I guess I'm less optimistic in that regard. But I do think they'll get underway, and hopefully they can get this thing, you know, clicking, and it can work for everybody, and everybody can stay healthy, because to me that's the most important thing anyway. So hopefully it can.
In the last 2 minutes we have, let me do a little retro thing on you. Joel Sherman is going to be a guest later, and he wrote the thing about Greg Jeffries. What year did you actually start covering the Mets as opposed to being a host and the other things that you did early on?
Well, I did it, you know, I did it early. 93 was really the first year that I did it, but I only did it, they were so bad at that time that I think I probably did half a season in those years, 93 and 94, and maybe even 95, because they were out of things so early most of the time. So I didn't really know Jeffries very well. I did meet him, and that I kind of, you know, he was a different guy, let's put it that way. And I read the article. Joel wrote a great article on it, and I think he pegged him pretty well. He was brought up a little bit different, and you know, handled things probably the wrong way. But I think the Mets handled it as well. I think Ron Darling put it very well, too, you know, that it was as much their fault as it was Greg Jeffries. But I thought it was a great piece, and he was a good player. He really was. It just never quite came together for him. It certainly didn't here, and he did have some good years elsewhere, particularly St. Louis. But I remember seeing him when he came back. He did come back one time. I can't remember what year or whatever, but he was fine. You know, he was cordial, and, you know, had no... No, I'm sure he had some bad memories, but he had nothing bad to say at the time anyway, and he seems to be okay right now.
Yeah, seems to have handled it pretty well over time. Eddie, looking forward to talking to you on Saturday mornings again. Hopefully within a few weeks we'll be back and do that.
That'd be nice. That'd be nice. Good to hear your voice, Rich. All right.
Okay, yeah. Yours too, Eddie. Talk to you soon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.